السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to this week's khutbah, and the topic is righteous deeds that lead to salvation. الأعمال المنجيات. الحمد لله. All praises are for Allah, the Lord of all the worlds. The one who causes night to follow day in succession, and the one who has made the lives of the earlier generations an ibra, a pattern, a model for us to comprehend and emulate. And I bear witness with every facet of my being that there is nothing worthy of absolute love, adoration, nothing worthy of worship except Allah, the uniquely one, having no competing second in that oneness. And I bear witness that our leader and our Sayyid, our Prophet, Sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is the perfect example of what it means to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and is the perfect example of a human being who has completed his potential. And he was thereby his sent messenger unto the entirety of the universe. O Allah, send your peace, send your blessings upon our Prophet Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and upon all of his family and all of his companions and whomsoever follows him in the best of ways until the last day. Amma ba'd. To proceed, I advise you and myself to embody that reverential consciousness and awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which we call taqwa. For He subhanahu wa ta'ala, how gloriously transcendent He is, states, وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. And whomsoever fears Allah, He will make for him a makhraja, a way out. And He will provide for him from where he does not expect. And whomsoever relies upon Allah, then He is sufficient for him. Ayyuhal Muslimun, O believers, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said in a Sahih hadith, "In talaqa thalathatu rahtin mimman kana qablukum." He said, three men from amongst those who were before you set out together on a journey. Hatta awaw al-mabita ila ghar, until they reached a cave where they intended to spend the night, and they entered it. Fadakhaluhu, and they entered it. فَانْحَدَرَتْ صَخْرَةٌ مِنَ الْجَبَلِ. But however, a big rock from the mountain rolled down, and فَسَدَّتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الْغَارِ, and closed the mouth of the cave, so they were trapped therein. فَقَالُوا, and so they said to each other, إِنَّهُ لَا يُنْجِيكُمْ مِنْ هَذِهِ الصَّخْرَةِ إِلَّا أَنْ تَدْعُوا اللَّهَ بِصَالِحِ أَعْمَالِكُمْ. He said, they said to each other, these three men, indeed nothing can save you and save us from this rock and the fact that we're trapped here, except that we call upon Allah by remembering the righteous deeds. And Salih a'malikum here doesn't just mean righteous deeds, it means those deeds that are salih, that are done purely li wajhihi, for his intention, for the sake of Allah, sincerely, mukhlisina lahuddin, for his countenance and his rida. So these three people turned towards Allah and they started thinking about what were these righteous deeds that we've done. And then so one of them came forward. And then he said this amazing thing. He said, O Allah, I had parents who were of an old age, and I also had a wife, and I was also at that time raising my young children. But it just so happened that whenever I came back to my family, I would milk the animals at the time. That was how the food and nourishment was provided. And I would first serve that milk to my parents before my family and my children. But one day I was obliged to go out to a long distant place in search of fodder, and I was unable to come back until the evening, and so I found my parents asleep at that time. And so I milked the animals, as was my habit of milking them, and I brought the milk to my parents and stood by their heads. I avoided disturbing them from sleep because they'd fallen asleep. At the same time, I did not deem it or think it appropriate that I should serve the milk to my children and my family before serving my parents. And so I stood in that state, with my children coming and gathering at my feet and crying out of hunger. But I remained standing in that very state until my parents, who had remained sleeping, until the break of dawn. After mentioning this incident, the man turned towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with his supplication, and then he said, "O Allah, if I did this sincerely, seeking your countenance and pleasure, then grant us relief from this problem we are in concerning this rock." And as soon as he said that, the rock shifted a little bit out of place. However, these three men were still unable to exit the cave. What the ulama say is that the shifting of the rock was proof that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had accepted his devotion. And what was the act of devotion? It was the fact that he showed reverence, birr, to his parents and gave them such a rank and such an esteem because of the fact that they were his parents, that he refused to wake them up and was willing for even himself and his family and his children to go hungry, but was not willing to compromise that rank that they had. And this is, subhanAllah, such a beautiful thing, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to have ihsan to our parents. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that we shouldn't say uff, or even the slightest word of displeasure to them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to show shukr to him, waliwaliday, and to our parents. So in other words, the most closest in degree of whom we should show our righteousness to in this world are our parents. And this man, adraka dhalik, he was aware of this reality. And he honored them for no reason except for the sake of Allah. And Allah accepted his act. And this is something that is a reminder to us about the degree of what it means to honor our parents. And then a second person came forward. Now remember, there were three people in this cave, and only one of them has made dua now, and the rock has only moved a little bit, but it's still blocking them. And so a second man comes forward, and he says, "O Allah, I used to have a female cousin, and she was the most beloved of people to me. He loved her more than anyone else in this world." And then he said, "And I wanted to have intimate relations with her. I wanted to have sexual relationship with her. But she kept refusing until a time came when a famine arose, and it was a very hard year, and she was one of those who were affected by this. And so she became severely constricted through her resources and was of desperate need. And so she came to me, and at that point I agreed to give her 120 dinars, and dinars in those days were golden dinars. They were very precious, a tremendous wealth. But the person said, "I agreed to give them to her on condition that she would not resist my desire." In other words, she would allow him to sleep with her. Now, subhanAllah, the hadith goes on to say that the cousin, even though she was given to that desperate condition and she had to get that money, Allah knows what her conditions were and why she was in such need, but maybe she needed to just preserve her life. Maybe she needed the money just to preserve the life of her loved ones, and she was forced in this condition. But even then, while she was forced to take this money, she said to that cousin, she reminded him of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and she said, "Have fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in regards to this. And the one who knows," she reminded him that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who knows that which is sirran wa alaniya. He knows that which is secretive and that which is announced. He knows even that which is akhfa, that which is a hidden, that there is nothing that can be hidden from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's gaze and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge. And so when she said this, the man was struck with fear. there was something in his heart that still had the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this revoked in him the maqam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so he said, "Amma makhafa," someone who's fearful of the maqam of his Rabb, he was fearful of the maqam of his Lord. And when he was aware of that, then he was had the ability then to say no to that ego, the ability to say no to those lustful desires, the ability to say no to that shahwat, that thing that was pulling him to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so he said, he gave her, he not only honored her and gave her the money, but he turned away from her and left her, and giving her all of this wealth, nothing for the sake of Allah. And then he turns around and says, having recounted this incident, he turns around and says, "Oh Allah, I turned away from her when she was the most beloved of people to me, and I left behind the gold that I then gave to her. Oh Allah, if I did this sincerely seeking your countenance and pleasure, then grant us relief from the problem we are in." And then the hadith goes on to say, the rock shifted a little bit even more, but it was still not enough for the three of them to leave. The ulama say that this second type of person also serves as an example. Just as the first showed, served as an example of the weight and esteem we should owe our parents, the second serves an example of the esteem of what it means to have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and what it means to say no to that nafs, and what it means to have ijtinab, to leave aside the muharramat, that which this haram, that which is calling us nothing except to the destruction of our own selves, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Allah has not made things haram except that to leave those things are in our favors, and were we to engage in those things, we would only destroy ourselves. This is his shafaqah, this is his gentleness for us, that he's made haram that which is only in our interests. And so when this person was able to do that, he became from the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he put forward an amal, that which is a good deed, that was saliha, that was purely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَخْشَوْنَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَيْبِ لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ وَأَجْرٌ كَبِيرٌ. Indeed, those who fear Allah, from what? From the unseen. In the sense that no one can see them, but they are aware that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is alimul ghayb. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything. Wash-shahada, and he knows that which is apparent, but he knows that which is relatively unseen to us. Not unseen to Allah. Not unseen to Allah. For he knows what is in the sudur of the hearts. He knows what's in the hearts of men. And then someone who shows taqwa of Allah and has khashya of Allah in this state, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ وَأَجَرٌ كَبِيرٌ. For them there will be forgiveness, and for them there will be a great reward. And the ulama say this great reward ultimately manifests itself as Jannah. So the way of khashya is the way of those who are the faizeen, those who are those who ultimately succeed. But the hadith goes on to say that when he made this dua, as we said, the rock shifts out of place, but not enough for the three of them to leave. So a third person comes forward. And he comes forward and he says, "Oh Allah, I employed some laborers to do some work on my behalf, and I paid all of them their wages, save the exception of one man. This man did not take his wages and instead went away." For whatever reason, the hadith doesn't mention. And so instead, the person who owed him his wages invests his wages. And through the investment, he gets much property and wealth, until a time comes when that man returns unannounced. And he said to the person, "O slave of Allah, Ya Abdullah, give me back my wages now." And then the man who was entrusted with them said to him, "Look around you. Look and see the camels. Look and see the cows. Look and see the sheep. Look and see all of this wealth that you see. All of what you can see is from your wages." And then the man first says, in the hadith it says, he says, "Don't joke with me, I just want my wages." And then he reminds him, "No, this is your wages, because your wages were invested, and this is the fruits, this is the return on the investment." And when the man finally comes to believe, then he takes all of the animals and he takes all of the wealth with him, and he leaves behind nothing for the man who originally invested it. And then the man says, "Oh Allah, if I did this out of sincerity, sincerely seeking your countenance and pleasure, then grant us relief from the problem we are in." Listen, brothers and sisters, if this man wanted to, he could have just given him his wages back. The man wouldn't have known any better. He could have easily have convinced himself and said, "Listen, I took this money, I invested it, he just wants the money back, and anything above that is my money, because I invested it." But in his heart was something different. In his heart was, "Walal akhiratu khayrun laka min al-ula." That which follows you in the next life, that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you, is better than what you can amass in this for your own devices and plots. And that was alive in his heart. And when he looked in his heart, he saw that the way of taqwa was to give this person everything that was brought from that money that he invested. And so he gave him everything. And that is a sign of a'mal, an amal that is saliha, that is truly for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And having done that, he made his dua, and the hadith says, then the rock shifted some more, and this time it shifted enough that the three of them were able to exit the cave and walk unto safety and freedom. Brothers and sisters, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam narrated this hadith, and this hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam narrated this hadith not just as any old story, because just as all of the stories that are mentioned in the Quran are ibra, the stories that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions are also an ibra, and ibra literally means that which you use as a bridge. Ya'buru anha, you use it as a bridge. And bridge unto what? A bridge unto yourself, a bridge unto your heart, a bridge unto the point that you realize these stories are not just out there, but where are these stories alive in you? Can you find yourself as that man who looks after his parents? Or are you from those who betray the trust of your parents? Are you from those who lack honor by not honoring your parents? Can you find yourself from that person who, when the opportunities presented him to have zina, when the opportunities presented him to engage in his shahawat, in his lusts, can you find yourself as the man who's able to say no to that? Or are you from those who give in to the tatabbu', to the following of the khadawat, the steps of shaitan that take you further and further away from the rahmah of Allah? Which party are you going to be? Are you going to be the fariqun who are in Jannah, in the Jannah of the Rida of Allah? Or are you going to be from the fariqun who are in the sa'ir, who are in the fire of the sakhat, of those who disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You choose. What about the third person? Are you going to be of those who owe wealth to someone, who may have had someone work for you, or may have had someone give you, lend you money in the past, but you think, "I can get away scot-free. I've got it all. No one knows. I am in the power. I have wasita. I can oppress this person and no one will save him." Or are you from those who know that no matter what wasita you have, no matter what connections you have, no matter what power you think you have, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, there is no power, there is no ability except Allah. And every person who claims he has any authority in this life will come to realize the poverty of his authority on that day, the yawm, that day of the day when everyone will be held accountable, that last day, that day that we know as yawm al-qiyamah, that day of uprightness, that day when we'll all be standing before our Lord, and there's nothing that will save you on that day except your sincerity. Brothers and sisters, they made tawassul. This was a type of intercession. They asked for intercession through the a'mal, but it wasn't a'mal, it was a'mal as-saliha, deeds done from ikhlas. They made their put forward their ikhlas for Allah. They put forward their lived lives for Allah. And the only thing that will benefit you on that day was how much of your life is for Allah. You make the choice, right here, right now, because our lives are determined by the anfas, the breaths we have, and those breaths will either be for you or against you. As Allah says, وَهَدَيْنَهُمْ نَجْدَيْنَ, we've guided you to the two paths, which is either for Allah, لِلَّهِ, or that which is haba'an manthur. That which is empty, that which is لغيره, but لغيره for other than Allah is the path of destruction. So you choose and I choose when we hear these khutbas, when we hear these reminders from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we have to take them as ibra. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, أحفظ الله يحفظك. يحفظك. He said, be mindful of Allah and Allah will be mindful of you. أحفظ الله تجده أمامك. Be mindful of Allah and you will find His protection and His nature of His presence in front of you. Presence in the sense that you will be protected in this world. تعرف إليه في الرخاء. Know Him in your times of ease and prosperity. يعرفك في الشدة. And He will know you in the times of your difficulty. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to enter into this state of muraqabah, this state of observance of ourselves for the sake of Allah, this state of sincerity for the sake of Allah, this state of taking ourselves to account through muhasabah for the sake of Allah. وَمَا ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ بِعَزِيزِ. Because we can't do this except through Him. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدْ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. We worship Him and we seek our isti'ana, our aid to worship Him through Him. منه وإليه, منه وإليه, through Him and to Him. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He bless us with the ability to have piety towards those He has ordered us to have piety and obedience towards. I say this and I ask, seek forgiveness for me and for you, so seek His forgiveness, for He is the most forgiving and the most merciful. And with this comes to an end this week's khutbah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This khutbah was brought to you by Idha'atul Quran, Abu Dhabi.